The following is a pre-recorded program.
We're going to answer some of the toughest questions that people ask about the faith today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Thanks, Michael friends,
Brown.
For joining us to be with you on The Line of Fire. Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. Not sure what that was. This is Michael Brown, delighted to be with you, coming away live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. That could be some of the confusion as we've got a live feed coming in. Number to call, 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. We're going to talk about a godly response to Pride Month. I want to encourage you with testimony, with the Word of God, with a practical suggestion that I posted yesterday that's gotten a good response. And I also want to talk to you a bit more about the pushback that continues to happen in other parts of society as the radical left and the LGBTQ plus movement overplays its hand and alienates people that were once sympathetic. This is an inevitability because of trajectory. All right, so I'm in Fort Lauderdale this week speaking at the gathering of all the leaders from the Caribbean islands from the Pentecostal Assemblies, the Pentecostal Assemblies of West Indies. Now, interestingly, even though I've been outside the United States for 200 trips, roughly, with 180 of those overseas and the others in Canada and Mexico, I've never been down to the Caribbean islands, not for vacation and not for ministry. So it's a tremendous joy to minister to about 150 leaders from the churches in the Caribbean islands. And the culture, the accent, is great. But the best thing is the spiritual atmosphere. As we pray, as we worship, it's just been gorgeous. It's been beautiful. So we're here through the week, got in yesterday, Monday, spoke Monday night, and then morning, evening, today, through the week, and then fly back Friday, and then God willing, leave for Israel on Saturday. Yeah, can't wait to be back in Israel. But it is Pride Month. It is a time where everywhere you look, you will see images of, quote, gay pride, LGBTQ plus pride, flags, memes, rainbow colors. And, you know, things have been so extreme. Some have pointed out that you've got Trans Visibility Day here and you've got this event here. It's kind of year-round that this is being pushed. But things got so extreme last June that Piers Morgan, who's anything but a fundamentalist born-again Christian, Piers Morgan was saying, everywhere he looks, it's gay flag, gay flag, gay flag, pride flag, prayer flag, you know, enough already. This is Piers Morgan. So I posted this yesterday on X and on Facebook. Every time you see a pride flag or display this month, let it be a reminder to pray for the mercy of God to touch all those who identify as LGBTQ+, and for them to experience the same repentance and forgiveness and transformation that you have received as a follower of Jesus. Let me read that again, because that's the heart of what I want to convey as a point of action. Every time you see a pride flag or display this month, be it a meme, be it rainbow colors, be it someone changing their Facebook page or whatever social media you're on, be it an announcement in your workplace or in your school, be in an event that takes place in your city. Every time you see any of this, all right, let it be a reminder to pray for the mercy of God to touch all those who identify as LGBTQ+, and for them to experience the same repentance and forgiveness and transformation that you have received as a follower of Jesus. And friends, remember that prayer is our greatest spiritual weapon. It's our most powerful expression of love. And prayer prevails. S.D. Gordon once said this: prayer is striking the winning blow. Service is gathering up the results. Let me say that again. Prayer is striking the winning blow. Service is gathering up the results. And remember, friends, in point of fact, most of the people who identify as someone in the LGBTQ plus spectrum are not radicals. They're not marching down the street in some pride event, stripped down to their underwear and gyrating. They're not celebrating nipple freedom. They're not performing some ugly BDSM thing in the presence of children. That is not your average person who identifies as LGBTQ plus. In addition, there are plenty, I would say the vast majority, are people like your average neighbor, simply living their lives, but they would say attracted to the same sex just as we're attracted to the opposite sex. In other words, their lives are very similar to the lives of many other Americans who are working their jobs and having relationships, trying to raise families. Not as many percentage-wise will be raising kids as heterosexual couples, but otherwise, you're talking about people who are simply saying, hey, this is who I am. Why can't I live my life? Why must I be discriminated against? Why is my relationship not valid as your relationship? It's as natural to me as yours is to you. It's not abusive. It's not coercive. It's not hurting anybody. Why is it such a big deal to you? And in the earliest days of gay pride events and riots and things like that, Stonewall riots and then the events and the protests and the so-called zaps, these very public confrontational events, yes, they were radical, they were extreme. Some of them were ugly and vile. Some of them were violent, like the Stonewall riots. But the bulk of it, ultimately, is things kind of exploded. And now you see the most radical edge on it. It was people saying, why can't we hold hands in public like you do? Why can't people at work know about our relationships without us losing our jobs? Why don't we have the right to love the people we love in a consensual adult way? Why don't we get that right? And in other words, it was a fight for quote equality and liberation and tolerance. But what became very evident early on was that it could not ultimately mutually coexist with opposing views. That gay activists early on recognized that their two great battles were, on the one hand, with the psychiatric, psychological society, with that establishment that said that homosexual attractions were a sickness, were a mental disease or illness like schizophrenia or bipolar issues. Conversely, they said their other main issue, their other main obstacle was the church, the religious world, which said it was a sin. I don't know if this is still the case, but years ago when I visited a gay and lesbian center in Charlotte, North Carolina, for a presentation by a gay pastor about Can You Be Gay and Christian, which remarkably, he was not dogmatic about, saying you have to study and just people can have doubts and questions. But that indicated to me the struggle still in his own soul. But there were pieces of literature there which I'm sure were common in gay churches, and it may be the case to this day, saying not a sickness, not a sin. Well, the gay activists and their allies were able to turn the tide in the APAs, the American Psychological Association, American Psychiatric Association, in 1973. That's when that began. And then other health organizations followed in suit. It's kind of like dominoes falling. So you'll see this long list saying that we recognize there's nothing unhealthy or sinful or wrong about this, etc. It's mainly from those first rulings in 73, just pushed its way through. But the battle since then has been with the religious world, especially with the church. And what I began to see, literally, friends, 20 years ago, when God began to burden me about what was happening with LGBTQ activism. I knew about it. I'd written about it some. I talked about it some, but very, very little. It was hardly on my radar at all. You can test it by going to the first 19 books I wrote leading up to A Queer Thing Happened to America, and go to those first 19 books and search every one of them for words like homosexual or gay or lesbian or anything like that or queer. And you will find maybe if you pulled out all the sentences and paragraphs out of my first 19 books, maybe it would fill one page. And then if you go to messages I've preached or classes that I've taught, you hardly ever hear references to this. This was just not on my radar, not a focus. But what I saw very quickly was those who came out of the closet wanted to put us in the closet. Those who came out of the closet wanted to put us in the closet. The idea of mutual coexistence was not going to happen. The idea of live and let live, because it was not simply a matter of having acceptance. Look, the Supreme Court outrageously overturned the definition of marriage. How many years ago? We're talking, 9 years ago, right? 2015. That outrageously happened. It's something that was completely outside the purview of the role of the Supreme Court. So that happens, but that hasn't slowed down the activism. That hasn't slowed down the push to get us listed as bigots or haters or anything like that. No, we've been the bad guys. We must be silenced. My book, The Silencing of the Lambs, documents it in massive detail. A whole large chapter in A Queer Thing Happened to America, which came out in 2011, documented this happening around the world. Look, there is a young man in Malta who is facing criminal charges, who is facing prison for testifying on television that Jesus changed his life and he's no longer gay. I'm not kidding you. The stakes in Canada are so high just for freedom of speech and freedom of religion. So to use an image from the book of Esther, that Haman was not satisfied with persecuting Mordecai because Mordecai would not bow down to him. He wanted to persecute all of Mordecai's people, the Jews, actually to kill them. Now, your average gay activist is no more looking to kill a Christian than your average Christian activist is looking to kill a gay person. God forbid, God forbid, God forbid. But the attempt to silence us, the attempt to put us in the closet, has been ongoing. It can be frustrating. It can be angering. And then, worst of all, the indoctrination of our children from preschool up through university and through social media, especially means like TikTok and things like that, it has been nefarious. It has been destructive. It has led to pain in many, many lives, even to suicide and to all kinds of problems because of the harm of the indoctrination that has confused impressionable young people. Our response, though, ultimately, while we fight legally, we fight in the courts, and while we take stands righteously in every area of society, when it comes to our spiritual response, it is to pray. It is to overcome hatred with love. It is to overcome evil with good. It is to overcome lies with truth. And is to come overcome the power of the flesh with the power of the spirit. And our greatest weapon is the power of prayer. So think of Saul of Tarsus in Scripture, right? Think of him violently persecuting the church. It says in the book of Acts that when Stephen was killed, that Saul approved of his death. And it says that he began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. But Jesus taught, what did he teach? Pray for those who persecute you. And no doubt the church did. We'll be right back.
This is Michael Ellison, founder of Trivita Wellness. Would you like to know a way to support strong hair and nail growth? A way to support healthy skin and a healthier gut? Well, it is no longer a secret. I would like to introduce Trivita's Multicollagen, a pure hydrolyzed collagen peptide. Multicollagen has 5 types of collagen that support your body in so many ways. It is abundant in amino acids, gluten-free, and hormone-free. Here's a testimony from a happy user of Trivita's Multicollagen.
A friend introduced me to Trivita's Multicollagen about 2 years ago. I was really excited to try it. I had noticed that as I was getting older, I was losing a lot of hair, and my nails and skin were not as healthy as they used to be. After a few weeks of taking Multicollagen, I noticed a really big difference. My hair loss was almost none. My nails were growing quickly, and my skin was much healthier. It's so easy to take, too. I just add a scoop in my morning coffee every day. Multicollagen is one supplement that I will never give up. Thank you, Trivita.
Now you can say goodbye to dull hair, brittle nails, and tired-looking skin. True beauty and optimal health starts within you.
Support thicker hair, healthier nails, and supple skin. Trivita's multi-collagen really works. Try it for yourself by calling 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. And know that a significant portion of your first order will go to help the Line of Fire radio broadcast. So call now, 1-800-771-5584, 1-800-771-5584, or online at trivita.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. I actually will not be taking calls today because I am having no problems with our feed going out from the church where I'm broadcasting in Fort Lauderdale. However, I'm having problems with the feed coming in, which is often cutting out, so I'm not going to take calls. But if you are listening on social media right now, if you're listening on YouTube or on Facebook, if you have something you'd like to say to me, post your comment and say, "This is for Dr. Brown," or put in "at the Line of Fire" at the beginning. If you have a question, post it, and I'll see if I can get to some of your questions or comments. So Kai and Chris, my alert team in our studio right outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, will look for your comments on either Facebook or YouTube, because I will not be able to take calls. Otherwise, you'll be talking, and I won't be able to listen. So I bring you back to what Jesus says. Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount, beginning in verse 43. "You've heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? If you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." But note those words again. Pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemies. So where we have opposition, where we have people pushing an agenda that we deeply object to, whether it's a family member, a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, or a stranger, where we have people pushing against our freedoms. I remember years back when I began saying those who came out of the closet, not speaking about all, but the radical activists, those who came out of the closet want to put us in the closet. And I was told, nobody wants to put you in the closet. What are you talking about? I'd be doing interviews on secular radio or TV. No one wants to put you in the closet. And then, as I've said many times, at a certain point, the tone changed. The tone changed. And the new tone became, bigots like you belong in the closet. So I have documented, friends, the attempts to silence us or what I face personally. It's not a big deal. God's word is going to get out. I don't feel like I'm being persecuted. These terrible people are trying to hurt me. No, God forbid. I mean, we live in a free country by and large, and I'm enjoying freedoms that most people in world history would cut their arms off to have, and many people around the world would do anything to be in our shoes here. But there are obstacles. There is unfair treatment. There are attempts to silence us. So what do we do to those who are persecuting us in that way? We pray for them. Again, it doesn't mean that we don't take action in courts, that we don't vote, that we're not politically active. It doesn't mean any of that. It's not either or. It's both and. But the single most effective spiritual weapon that we have, that which does more good than anything, is prayer, is crying out to God. So I have no question that's what the early church did for Saul of Tarsus. I have no question whatsoever that they prayed and they cried out and they asked God to touch this man. And the Lord encountered him and the Lord changed his heart, changed his mind. Look, I don't know about you, but I can distinctly, categorically, emphatically trace my salvation back to people praying for me. And key times in my life where I was getting off track, where my emphasis was wrong, or where I'd left my first love, or not being sensitive to something I needed to be sensitive to, I can tell you explicitly that it was people praying for me that God heard their prayer and intervened. I mean, I can tell you exactly what and how and when. That definite. I remember a few years ago, we were at an old friend's house. She is the oldest daughter of the pastor in the church in which we got saved. He recently went to be with the Lord at the age of 95. So she's a few years younger than Nancy and me, and we've been now lifelong friends. And she was telling me, we were over at her house on Long Island with her husband and some friends, and she was recounting how God just burdened them to pray for me when they knew about me as this lost sinner. I was a drummer in a band with two guys that were starting to go to the church, like two of the girls in the church. So, you know, the different ones were talking. I come up in the conversation. I show up at a church service just with the goal of pulling my friends out. And in August of 71, and she said, we prayed for you in our homes. We prayed for you in our services. We prayed for you in our prayer meetings. And God began to convict me of sin. I had no clue what conviction of sin was. I was not just a sinner. I was a proud sinner. Some of you can relate to that, boasting in my sin, thinking that the more evil I was, the more sinful I was, the cooler I was, if you can imagine that. Yes. And God in his mercy intervened. And I remember distinctly as a 16-year-old kid laying in bed, high on drugs, and thinking how cool I was. You stole money from your own father. You treated your own friends out of money. You are slick. You are something else. And then a few days later, laying in that same bed, high on the same drugs, in torment. What kind of a wretch are you? You stole money from your own father. You lied and cheated your own friends. What kind of wretch are you? And I was undone by conviction. I didn't know it was conviction. I thought it was just some bad reaction to drugs. So I thought, man, I'm getting off those drugs and doing something else. But then as God brought me to himself, I realized it was conviction. That was people praying. If you've never watched the documentary In His Image, if you've never watched it, I had the privilege of hosting that for American Family Studios. Go to YouTube and it's In His Image. You type in His Image, the movie. It's an hour, 43 minutes long. That's how you know it's the right one. In His Image, the movie, an hour and 43 minutes long. Or you can go to inhisimage.movie if you want to sign up with American Family Association, and then you can find out from your church how you can host a showing or get materials from them, supplemental materials. But otherwise, you can watch the video for free on either site, for free, In His Image. And there are three testimonies, Stephen Black, ex-gay, and then Walt Heyer, ex-trans, and he had full-blown surgery. And then Laura Perry, now Laura Perry Smaltz, ex-trans, and she had some degrees of sex change surgery. I mean, that's how far they went into the trans world. But in particular, you'll hear about Laura Perry's mother's church and how they prayed her into the kingdom, and how her mother, who had been somewhat of a legalistic Christian, who needed to deepen her own relationship with the Lord. And that's part of what pushed Laura away as well, that she comes to really know the Lord through the crisis in her daughter's life and helps with these older sisters in the church to pray her into the kingdom. And you see when Laura is back with them and they're hugging because they've been praying for her, they've been loving her, they've been praying for her. And all those with family members, friends, coworkers, people you love who identify as LGBTQ, your prayers will make a difference. No, God's not going to force anyone to do things, but he knows how to change hearts. He knows how to change minds. So let us pray. Every time you see a pride display, a pride flag, a meme, something, every time you see that, let that be a reminder to you to take this to prayer. And who knows what God is going to do? Many of us have felt for years that God has promised a massive harvest of those who identify as LGBTQ, that the next Jesus revolution move, just as we saw when I got saved in 71, began in 67, where all these hippies, radicals, rebels from all kinds of crazy backgrounds, not just in America, but around the world, had sovereign encounters with God and got saved. It's going to happen again. We believe that in the LGBTQ plus community. Yet we're seeing trickles, but I believe there's going to be a harvest, and the churches must be ready. Now is the time to pray. We come back, I'm going to share some social trends with you, some things of interest. And if you have a comment, again, I'm not going to be taking calls, but if you do have a comment you'd like me to interact with or a question, post it on YouTube or Facebook now, and we'll interact with it on the other side of the break. Hey friends, Michael Brown here. My delight to serve as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. We are living in such urgent times today, friends, that all of us are in the line of fire. There's a target on your back. There's a target on my back. If you simply seek to live by biblical values or just conservative moral values, you could be canceled. You could be cast out. You could be put down. You could be silenced. I'm here to say, friends, that I am not about to be silenced, and I don't believe you are either. It is time for us to stand up. It is time for us to say enough is enough. It is time for us to push back in Jesus' name, not fighting the way the world fights. No, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming the flesh with the power of the Spirit, overcoming lies with truth. And that's what we're here to do on the Line of Fire broadcast. And friends, it's not just a broadcast. It is a movement of people around the world, God's people standing up, saying enough is enough, and saying, Lord, here we are. Send us, use us. I want to urge you today to join our support team, because we are on the front lines together, and we are literally touching people around the world, in America, in the nations, in Israel. And together with your help, we're going to amplify this voice and spread this movement around the globe. So I encourage you, go right now to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Click donate, monthly support, thelineoffire.org. Click donate, monthly support. When you do, you become a torchbearer. We immediately send you two great life-changing books. We immediately give you access to many classes I've taught. Others have to pay to take those. You get them for free. Exclusive video audio content, a new audio message every month, an insider prayer newsletter, 15% discount, our online bookstore, so much more. Join our support team today. Go to thelineoffire.org. Donate monthly support.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown, delighted to be with you, audio only, and unable to take calls because of problems with the feed coming in. But the key thing is you can hear me, and it's my joy and privilege to be here with you. If you are not getting our frontline newsletter, we're now starting to work on our June letter. It goes out in the middle of the month. We put a tremendous amount of time and effort and energy into it to come up with the right message for you, great testimonies to encourage you, and excerpts from one of my books, and a great quote to stir your heart. We really try to pour in to be a blessing to you. If you're not getting it, go to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. And just click subscribe, and we'll get it right out to you. Those watching on YouTube, if you're not subscribers, click subscribe and then hit the bell, which will remind you anytime we put out a new video. You'll know when it's going out, premiering or a live event. You'll be notified. All right. Can I just share something beautiful that happened last night as I'm ministering here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, to leaders with the Pentecostal assemblies of the West Indies from the various Caribbean islands. Interestingly, I've never been to the islands either on vacation or for ministry. So it's just beautiful to be with so many leaders from so many of the islands in one place. So I after the service last night, a brother who was asked to introduce me, one of the pastors, came up to me. I'd say he's about 50 years old. And he said, "Dr. Brown, I want you to know how far-reaching your ministry is." And he said, "Every morning I start the day, the first thing I do, I go to stream.org or to Christian Post to read one of your articles." And then he thanked me for getting involved in some very difficult church conflicts like the IHOP KC thing or different things, or being a spiritual father to some younger men of God as they're being raised up and used by God, and some with international ministries. And then he said something that's so precious. He said, "I have adopted you as a father from a distance." My brother, if you happen to be listening to this on podcast, yes, that really did touch me. "I've adopted you as a father from a distance, as a spiritual father." So by God's grace, friends, we're making an impact. And the messages we're getting out are making an impact. One leader got up last night and said that on his island, they used my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, to answer questions and objections that were coming up, issues they had to deal with in the Caribbean islands. So we are making an impact. We are making a difference. And right now, America is wide open to us, meaning there are radio stations listened to by tens of millions of people around the world. We just launched on a massive station in Los Angeles. Stations listened to by millions, tens of millions of people total across the country, by large segments of America, listening to radio stations, listening to AM and FM radio. To this moment, it's a major portion of Americans do that, get information from there. And once we launch now our 30-minute broadcast, this is in addition to the daily live show. We do a 30-minute daily broadcast, an equipping broadcast. We've done a whole month on Can You Be Gay and Christian, a whole month on holiness, a whole month on revival, a whole month on the end times, a whole month on Israel. So, I mean, really hitting practical issues. And across America, we have stations all across America. We want your broadcast. But in order to get on, we pay to be on the air, because these are commercial stations. And in doing so, we then have to raise money to be on the air, because it takes several years before those in the area enough people will tune in regularly enough that they want to give and they want to support. So it's like paying forward. I don't know if you've ever been in a place like that, a Christian restaurant, where you pay for whoever's coming after you. There are no prices on the menu. There's a ministry we work with in Vero Beach, Florida. And they have a cafe near the church building in the mall where they are. And you go in there and there are no prices on the menu. You just pay forward. That whatever you do is paying for the next person that comes in. And many people come in without money. And they're served just the same as everybody else, with just as much appreciation as anyone else. So I'm inviting you to pay forward. We could really use a bunch of new torchbearers, monthly supporters, giving a dollar a day or more per month. For some of you, that's a lot. For some, it's easy. Put us on your church budget. If you're a pastor, leader, maybe it could be for much more than that. It is with one goal. Together, we are making a difference. If you believe in our voice and the way we convey things and our message of hearts of compassion with backbones of steel, of reach out to the people with compassion while resisting the agenda with courage, just think of the effect of what could happen with tens of millions more people listening to the broadcast every single day. Think of the effect that could be had. Think of how fires of revival could be stoked in the church. Think of how much more people would have a heart to pray for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, how better equipped they'd be for standing for righteousness. So stand with us today. All of the funds go right back out to outreach, and then we pour back into you in so many different ways, with classes you take for free and exclusive access to other materials that it's more than whatever you invest in us, we are determined to invest back in you. So if your heart's prompted, if you believe in what we're doing, if you want to help us get the message into places we've not been yet or we haven't been on the air, go to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org, and click on donate monthly support. Those who'd rather give a one-time gift, we really welcome it, especially when we get into the summer months and there's kind of a lull in giving. People are busy with other things and not as focused. Let it be that we come through the summer strong, because we don't slow down. In fact, in many ways, we speed up during the summer because I'm not teaching at the four or five different schools that I teach in regularly, so ministry schools. So we get to speed up. So thank you for your support. I didn't plan on saying any of that, but I don't regret saying any of it, because I'm committed to the work of the Lord. I live for this. I breathe for this. I give my blood for it, for the work of the gospel. Pray and seek God earnestly on my face for him to work and speak and move. And the door is open, friends. So thank you for your participation. Thank you for joining our support team. We deeply, deeply appreciate it. Okay. I have said for years that there would be a pushback, that there would be a pushing back in the culture against LGBTQ plus extremism. We're seeing it in across the board in many, many different ways. We're seeing the pushback against this rise of anti-Semitism on campuses. We're seeing liberal Jews in America who for years were afraid of right-wing anti-Semitism. Now they realize the danger of left-wing anti-Semitism in ways even more nefarious and potentially dangerous. And eyes are opening. People are saying, what's going on? I'm not giving millions of dollars to that school anymore with radical Marxist ideologies like that and anti-Semitic views like that. I'm not doing that. People are waking up. And it's happening with, especially with trans activism. People who said, hey, look, two men, two women love each other. Who are they hurting? Love is love. Love wins. You have the right to marry the one you love. And they're loving parents and they're committed and they're good people. Why shouldn't they be able to do it? Well, they signed up for that, but they didn't sign up for the radical activism. They didn't sign up for taking away other people's freedoms. And they certainly didn't sign up for their 15-year-old girl to be required to share a locker room and bathroom with a 15-year-old boy, or to lose her scholarship to school. To maybe she's 18, she was going to be getting an athletic scholarship, and she loses it because of some two boys in the school that are faster and stronger, and now they compete against her, and they knock her out. Instead of being third place, she finishes fifth place, and she's out of a medal, and she's out of a scholarship. They didn't sign up for that. So check out this sampling of people. I'm going to name the names. K-Rock, Joe Rogan, J.K. Rowling, Richard Dawkins, Bill Maher, Piers Morgan. Now, do any of those names for a split second convey to you Bible belief, Jesus, faith, strong conservative moral stands? Do any of those names? No, no. Kid Rock? He's a rocker, not known for his strong moral stands or his godliness or being a Christian. One of my colleagues years ago worked an event just to make some money on the side that was in our area. He came and did a concert, and he said just he never heard a trashier mouth in his life. Kid Rock led the boycott against Bud Light with their radical trans activism and having a man who identified as a woman be the female face of Bud. And this is what Kid Rock said in December of 2023. He's no longer boycotting Bud Light. Quote, they made a mistake. Quote, I think they got the message. So, you know, he became well known with his shotgun lining up cans of Bud Light and shooting them. Not exactly the fundamentalist preacher, huh? Kid Rock. Oh, Joe Rogan. He's been in the midst of controversy for years now because of some of his stance. I'm looking back to something July 22nd, 2020. I didn't realize he was raising issues back then. I've been more familiar in the last year or two. So Joe Rogan with the world's largest podcast, and well-known comedian, well-known originally for Fear Factor, and then as a UFC commentator. and also known for his use of profanity or smoking pot on the air. Quote, Joe Rogan is spreading transphobic hate speech and it's putting lives in danger. Of course, I don't want to put anyone's life in danger. I will speak the truth in love and do my best to help. But he interviews Abigail Schreier. And again, I didn't realize he did it back in 2020. And in her book, Irreversible Damage, The Transgender Craze Seducing Our Daughters. A very, very important book, a book designed to save lives. So Joe Rogan comes under attack. With Target last year, Target stores, when they have their displays for bathing suits with, quote, tuck fabric, extra fabric. So for a guy who identifies as a girl, yeah, you can figure out what it's called, tuck. And he said, that's weird. I don't want to see that when I go into Target. Target has said at various stores they're pulling back from some of their pride displays. Why? Because it hasn't been good business. J.K. Rowling, author of Harry Potter, and a long-term, well-known ally of gay and lesbian activists, she says, quote, friends begged her not to speak out on the trans issue. This is just an interview 5 days ago. Quote, I was a heretic. She said, by the standards of my world, I was a heretic. And the moment she began to believe that the transgender movement was, quote, dangerous and profoundly misogynistic, she said, I kept my thoughts to myself in public because people around me, including some I love, were begging me not to speak. So I watched from the sidelines as women with everything to lose rallied in Scotland and across the UK to defend their rights. My guilt that I wasn't standing with them was with me daily like a chronic pain. And finally she said, okay, she had to speak out to defend women. It goes on and on. We'll be right back.
I'm Paul Burnett, a board-certified doctor of holistic health, and I want to introduce you to Trivita's multi-collagen formula. If there was ever a message I would want the world to hear, it would be about the importance of supplementing the body with its most abundant protein, known as collagen. Studies have shown multiple health benefits by supplementing with collagen. Trivita's multi-collagen formula does not have just one or two types of collagen, or even three, but five forms of collagen shown to support healthy tendons, ligaments, skin, hair, nails, bones, muscles, gut lining, and even the arteries and veins. Trivita did not stop there. Each of the five forms of collagen in Trivita's multi-collagen formula are hydrolyzed, which increases maximum absorption. Trivita's multi-collagen formula is an easy dissolving powder that can be added to your favorite beverages and even soups in your favorite recipes. Each serving of Trivita's multi-collagen formula provides 9 grams of protein, is gluten-free, GMO-free, hormone-free, and sourced from grass-fed bovine, cage-free chickens, and even wild-caught fish. And you can rest assured that Trivita's multi-collagen formula is manufactured right here in the United States of America.
To place your order for products to support your wellness goals, call 1-800-771-5584, 800-771-5584, or online at Trivita.com. As a Trivita introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 and receive a 25% discount on the products of your choice. That number again is 1-800-771-5584, 800-771-5584.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Hey, shout out to our co-sponsor, Trivita. We are so blessed to have them working with us, making their great wellness supplements available to you at a great discount, 25% off, and then donating literally, not hype, literally 100% of your first order, however big it is, 100% is donated back to the Line of Fire for our outreach and more than the tithe of all subsequent orders. So take advantage of this great offer. I think you'll be helped as well in your own physical bodies. Call 800-771-5584, 800-771-5584, or go to trivita.com. Be sure to use the code BROWN25 as part of my daily routine as a supplement to my healthy eating and exercise. I've got a question I want to respond to in a moment. But first, let me just go through some of these other names of people who have surprisingly stood up against trans activism. Here's an article back from, it's over 3 years ago. It's April of 2021. Richard Dawkins loses Humanist of the Year title over trans comments. The arch atheist, Richard Dawkins, by saying that there are only two sexes and things like that. They say he's marginalizing groups and demeaning marginalized groups under the guise of scientific discourse. Richard Dawkins, Bill Maher. Here's an article from May of 2022. HBO's Bill Maher faces furious backlash after comments, quote, sneering at trans kids. Here's another headline. This is also 2022. Real Time's Bill Maher claims rise of LGBTQ may be sparked by need to be trendy. Remember, Bill Maher actually put out a documentary mocking and attacking religious beliefs. And then Piers Morgan, who went after me when I was on his show, when he was on CNN years ago, and challenged me to give him one verse where Jesus said anything about gay or being gay. This is from November of last year. Piers Morgan calls trans athletes' participation in women's sports grotesquely unfair, calls for boycotts. Yeah. So the pushback is here. The pushback continues. So it is essential that the church leads the way and that we lead the way with the gospel, that we lead the way showing the same mercy that we received, that we lead the way not with bigotry or hatred or anger or bias, but that we lead the way with the love of God and the truth of God while we stand up for freedoms, while we push back in the schools against a radical, dangerous indoctrination, while we do our best to bring positive transformation through the courts, through the laws. Above all, we reach out, and above all, we bathe all of that in prayer. There's a question from Marinan. Let me just get it exactly here. Why is homosexuality so often demonized along with murder and much worse sins? Let me give you several reasons why. One reason is an illegitimate reason, simply that people are repulsed by it or turned off by it, and it seems gross. And of course, it is absolutely contrary to God's design and God's plan and God's desire for humanity, and a violation of his biological plan, among other things. So some are just turned off by it. And because of that, they lash out. They're uncomfortable with it. They lash out in angry ways, and sometimes out of their own bigotry, you know, with insults, with mocking jokes, with demeaning comments, and all of it void of love. So that's one reason, and that's an illegitimate reason. Another reason, though, is the activism. In other words, I was never responding to what two people were doing in private. I was never responding to the someone saying, hey, just accept me for who I am. In other words, if there was a guy that I worked with, let's say I was in a secular job, right? And my coworker was a gay guy. I wouldn't try to get him fired. You should be fired because you're gay. You don't belong here because you're gay. Well, I wouldn't even think of it. I'd think, oh, here's another person to win to Jesus and to be a witness to and to try to be a friend to and to try to be kind. And this is another human being, right? And outside of Jesus, we're all lost. We're all fallen. We're all flawed. We're all broken. We all need fixing. Every one of us, right? So that's how I'd be looking at it. And if he said, hey, you know, I've got a partner, it's like there's a partner, there's another person to share the gospel with. Remember, when I was growing up as a boy, my organ teacher, as a little boy, my sister and I, our organ teacher, we were little kids, was openly gay, named Russell. And he'd come over to our house on Long Island and commute in to do lessons for us, sometimes with his partner, Ed, who was a beautician, actually. And they would stay for dinner and hang out. So I grew up like this little kid. And the idea of, well, you know, stay away because you're gay or something. No, that was not my issue. What got me called onto this was the activism, was the in-your-face stuff, was the stuff in the presence of little children, was the push to put others in the closet. That's what we've been responding to. Listen, I would be thrilled if I never have to write another article on the subject. I'd be thrilled if I never have to do another radio broadcast on the subject. I'd be absolutely thrilled. So we push back about the dangers of this because of the societal effect, because of the ripple effect, because as we warned for years, there is a trajectory, there is a slippery slope. And that's why it went from gay activist to gay lesbian activist to gay lesbian bi activist to gay lesbian bi transgendered, gay lesbian bi transgender queer, plus, 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 plus. That's why it's gone to all that. And when I say LGBTQ plus, I'm doing it also always to illustrate a point that there is no end to the trajectory. And we are where we are today with voices like Richard Dawkins and Bill Maher and Kid Rock and J.K. Rowling and Joe Rogan and Piers Morgan raising their voices, and other people who are more secular raising their voices against the agenda. So it's the agenda that is the great issue. That's the second reason, and that's a very legitimate reason, that we highlight not just homosexual practice, but the activism. The third thing is, as much as this is hurtful to those who are in loving, consensual, same-sex relationships, the acts are detestable in God's sight. They are so contrary to his order and plan, especially when you think that the sexual act, the fundamental sexual act, is designed for procreation. Yes, it can be enjoyed, but it is designed for procreation. The actual things that transpire and what the man delivers and the woman receives, this is designed for procreation. And I talk in terms like this because we often have younger ears listening. And if mom and dad haven't had further discussions, we're not going to introduce them right here. So this was the design. Now, it doesn't mean that every sexual act results in procreation. And you can be a couple that is unable to have children, a heterosexual couple, and your acts of love in marriage are blessed and wonderful in God's sight, even though procreation is not possible. But it is the violation of the design, the violation of the order, the violation of joining a man with a man or a woman with a woman that is so wrong in God's sight and so sinful in God's sight. So because the Bible speaks about this in very clear and strong terms, when it does mention it, it's easy to then say, oh, well, that, you know, that's the worst of the worst. The problem is, and this is to your point in your question, it also says this, for example, using the same word in Hebrew, toeva, which is detestable, okay? So outside of the Torah, because sometimes it can mean something ritually detestable, like unclean animals for food for the people of Israel. That was ritually detestable. But here's what it says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. And here's where we're often hypocritical and we fall short. Proverbs 6:16. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. In Hebrew, toeva, again. Seven that are detestable to him. So this is in the same category of detestable with homosexual practice. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community, literally among brothers. Those are also hateful in God's sight. Shall I read them again? Haughty eyes. Any of us have had haughty eyes, proud eyes, a lying tongue? Have we ever spoken lies, been dishonest? Hands that shed innocent blood? That abortion would be in that category among many others. A heart that devises wicked schemes? Feet that are quick to rush into evil? A false witness who pours out lies? And a person who stirs up conflict or spreads dissension among the brothers and sisters? Have some of us been guilty of that? That's also detestable in God's sight. And when Paul gives lists in 1 Corinthians 6, for example, verses 9 and 10, you have similar lists in Galatians 5 and Colossians 3, Ephesians 5. When he gives these lists, saying those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God, homosexual practice is on his list in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, regardless of what anyone tells you, it's on his list. It's the right way to interpret and understand the Greek. It's on his list there in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. But it's not on his list in Ephesians 5 or in Galatians 5 or in Colossians 3. It's under the larger heading of sexual immorality. And there are other things on that list as well, including greed, which is idolatry. So sometimes, yes, we are hypocritical. Sometimes, yes, it is true that we are guilty in these ways. May God help us to step higher. May God help us to live righteously before him. And may we pray every time you see a gay pride flag this month or a display, pray for their salvation.